you know, do licuados. My nana would do licuados, you know.
Yum.
The best.
What would she put in her licuados?
You know, bananas.
I was going to say bananas.
Milk, bananas.
You did she put know. An egg in it?
Yeah. She did. A raw egg.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of Miguel. His name is actually Miguel Pimentel. And you know him as a Grammy Award-winning artist from L.A. He's the son of an African-American mother and an immigrant father born in Zamora, Michoacán, in Mexico. Miguel rose to prominence as an R&B singer, and he's often been compared to Prince for his eclectic sound, which draws from a wide range of musical currents.
Hello, stranger, it's been a minute since we last kicked.
Miguel is getting more and more acclaim, and at the same time, he's increasingly embracing his Latino roots. Last year, the hit movie Coco featured a version of the song Remember Me, which Miguel sang with Mexican pop singer Natalia Lafourcade. Miguel performed the song earlier this year at the Oscars. This year, he'll be releasing a deluxe version of his album War and Leisure, which will include some of his songs in Spanish. The project was inspired by a recent trip to Zamora, Michoacán, which is the town where Miguel's dad was born. And there, for the first time, Miguel finally met his family in Mexico. Miguel joins me now to talk about his life-changing trip to Mexico and how his mixed-race upbringing influenced his sound. Miguel, it's so great to have you on Latino USA.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me about growing up. I mean, everybody knows Miguel, the artist. I want to try to understand a little bit about how you were growing up. And I've been thinking a lot about my own experience. So like, you know, my family was fully Mexican growing up in Chicago, but my parents' best friends were African-American.
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, a crazy parallel because I grew up in a Black and Mexican kind of part of San Pedro, which is a smaller part of Los Angeles. You know, I'm born in the 80s, 85. I grew up in the 90s. There was a lot of racial tension between Blacks and Mexicans in Los Angeles in the 90s.
Racial conflict like this between Blacks and Latinos is ripping through Southern California.
You know, my mother was extremely, extremely devout. So on the one hand, my mother was very religious, my father not. My mother obviously being Black, my father Latino, Mexican. A lot of contrast growing up. But growing up in San Pedro, I actually kind of got the pass because most people in the community knew who I was.
So who are you living with when you're growing up?
Is mostly it your mom? Mostly my mother. My father fought as hard as he possibly could to spend as much time as he possibly could with my brother and I. And he drove out from Inglewood over the weekends, every other weekend to visit us. He picked us up, dropped us off. We saw him over the summertime. He's an educator. He's a teacher.
Is that why you know Spanish?
Well, yeah, because in the summertime, I was with my nana and my tata.
So nana and tata are...
Are my father's parents.
Okay.
And so all of my tías and tíos, my uncles and my aunts, kids, my cousins, we stayed with my grandparents in the summertime. While our parents in Inglewood.
In Inglewood. So y'all were just like doing
family
the
daycare.
Mexican summertime.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh my God, it must have been
my favorite.
What did you guys
summertime,
do every
man.
Day?
Because my father was a teacher, he also was off in the summertime. So we spent, man, summers were the best, my dad. The best, some of my most fond memories, going to the beach, Venice Beach, we're there all the time.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that I see a lot of people of color, a lot of Mexicanos out there with the whole family.
You already know. Yep. It was beautiful. I mean, still is beautiful energy in Venice. But not only that, because sometimes my father taught summer school, so a lot of time with my nana, lots of MTV, lots of puzzles with my tata, and board games with my grandfather, my tata.
What board games?
Man, we played Trouble, we played Uno,
My favorite.
he would like sometimes we didn't want to play, but by force he'd be like, no, we're going to play. Some of my favorite memories, man, playing board games and doing puzzles with my grandfather.
Did you start singing like when you were three?
Oh, yeah. No, I was always singing. That was kind of the part of it. It was like, I was the kid that everyone knew that I was going to do something. I was always singing, dancing, performing.
But like at three? Yeah. Like at how
old? Early, yeah, early on.
Like two?
Yeah, as soon as I could dance, as soon as I could use my legs, it was like, you know, singing, dancing, all of these things, yeah.
Are you kidding?
At our family parties type thing.
You were when just we were like, around, oh, mira, ahí viene Miguel.
Yeah, well, dance. It was like, come on, Miguel. They called me Mikey when I was younger. You know, I loved Michael Jackson growing up, so I was, you know, getting my Michael Jackson moves in, and that was the thing. You know, at family parties, family gatherings, that's what I was doing. Put the music on. Come on, dance, Mikey.
Do you remember, like, your first memories of music?
Early memories with music. I mean, being in Los Angeles, car drives, car rides and music, that's where we got it in. I remember my mom driving me to school early. For some reason, my vivid memories with music and my mother come from, like, fifth grade.
So what were you listening to when your mom was driving you to school?
Those car rides were, like, soul music, a lot of classic stuff. You know, a lot of Temptations. And then all the R&B stuff at the time. You know, Anita Baker.
And she was singing and you were too?
Absolutely.
In the car?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Or she would go, what instrument is playing this part?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Me and my brother, which was really cool.
And then when your dad was driving?
That could be anything. That could be some 80s rap. Capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional. It might be the Fugees. I remember my father was playing, had the Fugees tape. The Score, that very first album, The Score by the Fugees.
Do you remember singing along to any of those songs?
And the cover that Lauren did of, it's early and I'm not going to remember song names right now.
That's okay.
But, whoa, I've heard he sang a good song.
Oh, wait.
I heard he had a style.
Roberta Flack.
Mm-hmm. And when I came to see him, and so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young one, a stain to our eyes, strumming my pain with
Killing
his finger. There we go. Singing my life with his words, yeah. Killing me softly with his song, killing me softly. With his song.
Coming up on Latino USA, my conversation with Miguel continues. Stay with us, no te vayas.
Hi, I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of the podcast Hidden Brain. This summer, we're sharing a series about reinventing yourself. We call it You 2.0. Add us to your summer listening for ideas about responding to life's messiness and chaos with wisdom.
We're back. And before the break, the singer Miguel painted a picture of his childhood growing up in Los Angeles. And now we're going to talk about Miguel's first ever visit to Mexico. It was part of the Earthworks series for Viceland.
How does it happen? Like somebody from Vice basically calls you up and it's just like, hey, we're going to like invite you and your brother and your dad to take a trip to Mexico. All expense paid. We're going to figure and produce the heck out of it. And you just need to show up.
Man, the opportunity was this. We were picking artists that they thought were interesting and, you know, had a perspective to choose a place in the world to go. I could have chose anywhere, but I was like, I want to go to Zamora. I want to go to Michoacan. And can I take my father and can I go with my brother as well? Can I bring them? And they were like, yeah, even better.
Most people think of me solely as a black artist, but there's a reason why my name is Miguel. My father's from Mexico, and in search for a better life, he and his family came to the U.S. before I was born. So until now, I haven't been able to come back.
And so that was the whole thing. You know, I wanted it to be about family, kind of a family discovery, and also to learn about, you know, where my family's from.
So what was the thing, like, when you think back on that trip into Michoacán, what's the thing that you're like, that moment?
Oh, dinner with family.
See? Such a good one.
Honestly, having conversations with, like, my grandparents, I've never had that. This helps me appreciate all of those moments.
How many family were there?
I mean, it must have been at least 20,
yeah,
25, 30
something
people.
Like that. So I wondered
Even
if you were,
crazy.
I wondered if you were a little dizzy. It was so much hugging and food and laughter and the smile on your face.
Yeah, it's a great memory.
No importa donde, si tenías familia allí, the feeling is the same. If we know each other or not.
Nos conocemos o no.
And I only know that because I'm here now.
That definitely was a immersive experience.
Full body.
Yes, absolutely full body.
So this thing of everybody hugging on you.
Yeah, man. And that was actually the best part, is that energy that you kind of share when it is. Like, you get to really, it's tangible and you get to hug them. Those hugs are real. When you get a hug from people that you share blood with, that's a different kind of energy you're starting to exchange, you know? That was a big part of that, feeling like I was right at home in a completely foreign place.
So then you go to the radio station where your grandmother used to sing?
Yeah, yeah.
Saludotes, bienvenidos. Tenemos para usted una enorme sorpresa. Miguel Pimentel, quien tiene el gusto por la música ahora. Bueno, pues mire, la historia.
When she was much younger, before she was with my grandfather, her and her sister and their friend, I believe, sang on, they were like a trio on the radio.
Wait, what? So you got a chance to sing inside the very radio station in Mexico that your grandmother used to sing in? Oh my God, I mean, that must have been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that moment, did you feel like this deep connection to your family?
Yes, my grandmother is the real root. You start to take a look at the journey and the sacrifice and all of that, and that just feels like you are rooted in a much bigger picture, in a bigger story, in a bigger thing than yourself.
I want to take a listen to a Los Panchos song that you covered along with your dad and your brother in a tribute to her.
Sin ti no podré vivir jamás y pensar que nunca más estarás junto a mí. Sin ti me puede importar si lo que me hace llorar.
You're now about to do a whole album in Spanish.
Yeah, so War and Leisure is my latest album. I've re-recorded the majority of the album in Spanish, and so this will be my very first Spanish release. I've included Spanish in the album prior to this one, which is Wild Heart. This will be my largest effort in being able to tour in Mexico, essentially. That trip made it for me. It turned into a reason to come back, because I was like, wow, I have family here, I have roots here. How am I gonna make sure that I'm coming back here? To never forget this, to never forget the full circle, and to always, you know, continue to remain rooted here. And it was like, okay, I have to record music in Spanish. I have to record more music in Spanish. And so that's what I did.
Tell me about your decision to record some of your songs in Spanish? Because that is not easy. That's really hard, actually.
It's challenging to translate lyric and to keep it within the theme of the song. The awesome thing was that the songs are better and more poetic in Spanish. So the very first single is a song called Banana Clip.
There's a war on love. Just look around you. Oh, to know who to judge.
And the analogy of the song in English is essentially saying, like, you never have to worry. My love for you will never run out. I have extended love and protection for you. That's kind of like the metaphor of the song. But in Spanish, it's more poetic. You know, the message is more poetic.
¿Cómo va la canción en español? Más o menos.
No va a matar el amor sin control, no va a matar, no. Y todo esto lo hago por ti, si me lo pides. Y yo disparo, es lo que quieres, no. Y todo esto lo hago por ti, si me lo pides. Y yo disparo.
La pasión letal. Nos encontramos, tú y yo, los dos, tocando el cielo. El amor sin control es tan perfecto.
It's the same message. It's like all of this I do for you.
I gotta say, I love watching you and hearing you speak Spanish.
It's going to happen more con tiempo, como práctica. Es importante para hablar con más gente. Y eso es el, that's the goal.
La meta.
La meta.
Love the word meta. In Spanish, it's such a great word.
Yeah, meta. Meta.
Too proper for the black kids. Too black for the Mexicans. Too square to be a hood. What's normal anyway?
Being Mexican and being black is really a challenge in this country. You have a huge platform, right? So what you say and how you say it about all of this stuff.
I hate that I know that. I feel so uncool for knowing that, but yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it is a platform that you created, right? It is your heart, your life, your work, your vision, your face. Do you feel this, like, particular pressure? Dude, I am black and I am Mexican in this particular moment, and I'm an artist.
I feel an opportunity by chance. I happen to be both, and I can identify with both. So it's beautiful. And I think that's why I do think it's important that I do take moments to acknowledge and to hopefully shed light, or even bring my fans with me to educate myself on what the issues are, the injustices are.
Too far out for the in crowd. What's no more anyway? Too involved in my own life. To spend time with my family. Too concerned about what others think.
My family journey has a lot to do with things like immigration, you know what I mean? And my grandmother coming here from Mexico. I would never be sitting here with you. I just would have never been able to do any of this had my grandmother not left Zamora, come to the States, California, Inglewood, raised her family there with my grandfather, my father meeting my mother in high school in Inglewood, and here I am. It would have never happened without my grandmother. Being an immigrant, you know?
I never feel like I belong. I wanna feel like I belong somewhere.
Neil, it's been such a pleasure spending some time with you.
A pleasure's mine. It's a pleasure to share, you know, a bit of where I come from and get to talk about the music that's coming, you know? I'm excited about it, so thank you.
Nosotros también. We're very excited. Gracias, Miguel.
Igualmente, gracias, gracias, gracias.
Singer and songwriter Miguel Pimentel. The song Banana Clip in Spanish is out August 3rd. His album will be available later this year. This
this episode was produced by Janice Yamoka and edited by Sofia Paliza Carr. The Latino USA team includes Marlon Bishop, Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Andres Caballero, Maggie Freeling, and Sayer Quevedo, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Our engineers are Jeannie Montalvo and Stephanie LeBeau. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellows are Virginia Lora and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer. Thank you so much for listening. Join us on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. And I'll see you there. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. Winecoat Foundation. And with support from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund.
Mexicans love Michael Jackson.
I mean, everyone loved Michael Jackson.
Everyone loved Michael Jackson.
Hey, I want to tell you about something super exciting that's coming up, because this year, Latino USA turns 25 years old. And we want to invite you to our birthday party. On Sunday, August 12th, we're teaming up with City Park Summer Stage to celebrate with Grammy winner Jerry Rivera, New Yorican poet La Bruja,
even if you ain't Boricua, can I call you my peeps?
And famed percussionist Chembo Corniel. So come out, dance, and party with the Latino USA team in New York City's East River Park for free as we all get together to celebrate this important anniversary. I hope I'll see you there.
There's a new way to hear Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and all your favorite programs. Just ask your smart device to play NPR. Listen to your local station anytime, like this. Hey, smart device, play NPR.